Hey, Nick, do you notice it's like a lot younger in the studio today?
It's a lot less old in here.
Yeah, it's just like not dad jokes flying from left and right. I don't know if you picked up on that, but Scotty's on the other side of the world, yeah. So no promises on his takes this week. Let's get into it. The Zurich Classic ends with John Rahm and Ryan Palmer getting the win. Notice Tiger Woods. Should we be concerned about his back? He looked a little stiff, but before we get into it, let's start it off. Welcome to episode 12 of the Flagstick.com Tee Talk podcast. My name is Stefan Tiedorf. Sitting across from me is the man that makes all of this happen, his Tee Talk producer, Nick Gallinger. Nick, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
I am great. It's crappy weather here, but I can tell you,
it's awful.
We sound way better than our co-host here, all the way from Northern Ireland, where he claims he is working, the associate publisher of Flagstick.com and PGA of Canada professional, Sniffle Scotty McLeod. Scotty,
oh my.
Scotty, where are you? Why are you so sick, and how many Guinnesses have you had today?
Not enough, apparently, since it's supposed to be some sort of magic elixir. But yeah, guys, I'm actually in Newcastle, Northern Ireland, which is about 50 kilometers south of Belfast on the northeast coast of Ireland. So yeah, this voice is bad. I've got a little bit of a sinus infection, and unfortunately, there's a lot of chatting going on. We got a lot of tour operators and media guys here in loud rooms, and my voice is, as you can hear, makes Stevie Nicks look smooth.
Nice, you sound like a completely different person.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll survive. It's you got to remember, though, it is almost 1 o'clock in the morning here in Ireland. So, and I've got about 2 hours sleep in the last 36.
You'll make it work. Why don't we get into it? What are you doing over there, Scotty? Give us a quick rundown.
Yeah, so I got an invitation through Tourism Ireland to come and do a familiarization trip in Northern Ireland as they're preparing to have the 148th Open Championship here at Royal Portrush later this summer. So with a number of other media people, a group of guys from Australia, Canada, and the U.S. as well. And so we're at Royal County Down, which is hosting the RNA's women, the British Women's Amateur this year, and we're playing that tomorrow. Then we're over to Ardglass, another top course. Then we get to play Royal Portrush with the grandstands up, which is fantastic. Really looking forward to that. And all these tour operators are here as well. And then on to Port Stewart on Friday as well for content and future stories in Flagstick.
Nice. And you'll be back next week to break down all the golf and all your scores and all the Irish whiskey you've gotten into.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of the scoring we'll be doing. We'll see. The weather's a little bit dodgy, but that's okay. And had a quick look at the golf course. I actually hopped up to the 10th tee at Royal County Down a couple times today, and just to go look at it, it's unbelievable. I don't think we're going to be playing off the back tees. It's 71-86. Slopes 142, rating 75, and of course that would be in beautiful weather, and it's probably going to be about 10 degrees, maybe the wind chill will be about 6 or 7, and of course the wind will be blowing off the Irish Sea as well.
Yeah, well, it's better than what we have here, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I'm not asking for sympathy. That's
no,
for sure.
I wasn't going to give you any. Why don't we just hop in quickly into the golf over the past weekend? As I mentioned, the Zurich Classic wrapped up, and I'm going to claim the first ever Tee Talk bump, as I mentioned Ryan Palmer last week as a joke, and he goes out and wins with John Rahm at the Zurich Classic. Here's the thing. I have no idea if each of them get a win or not, how this works. Break it down, Scotty, because this tournament makes no sense.
Yeah, they do get a win each, and that brings John Rahm to 3 wins on his PGA Tour career, and Ryan Palmer, that's his first one since 2010, so that's 4 for him as well. Yeah, it is kind of odd, you know, the fact they do get FedEx Cup points and world ranking points and all this stuff, but, you know, you got to understand, through time, there used to be a lot more team events in the past. It just becomes a weird event, and I think we talked about that last week. It's just... I don't know about you, but you know, it doesn't make it all that attractive to watch it on TV, and especially with the rain delays and stuff like that as well.
No, I'll give you, last week you said you find it a little fun and a little spunky. I was going in with a mind of like, and I came
I was trying to stay positive.
I came out of it with a mind of like, Like, it just, it did nothing for me. I get it. It's supposed to be fun, whatever, the walk-up music. Then they don't do the walk-up music on Sunday. It's just a weird tournament. As said, it, you touched on it. The FedEx Cup points and world rankings for a team tournament make absolutely no sense to me.
Well, it doesn't really seem, you know, all that great for the rest of the players and stuff. And, you know, I gotta tell you, I mean, I was jumping on the plane to get over here on Sunday night, and I wasn't really, you know, all that teary that I was going to miss out on the finish of the Zurich Classic, that's for sure.
Well, just to touch on it, one thing that came out on Sunday of the golf I did watch was, so Tommy Fleetwood and Sergio, they lost by 3, and I can tell you this, Sergio did nothing to help those guys. Tommy Fleetwood hit every fairway, every green, he was lights out, and then Sergio, you know, batted it around from there to get them close, and that's where it's like, If they ended up winning, Tommy deserved 2 wins. Sergio doesn't deserve 1 win in that case. And that's why it just makes no sense to me how this this tournament. But I get it.
Well, I guess they got to come up with some sort of formula as far as how much each player contributes to the event. And maybe they just, you know, make it 1,000 FedEx Cup points and then they divide it between the two based on how many of their shots were better than the others. So that would make it exciting.
There you go. Yeah, they have to divvy it up live in like a little like conference room. Sitting across
sure,
the table.
Why not?
This is why I'm not the commissioner of the PGA Tour. Yeah.
Nor do you want to be.
No, probably not. You don't ever get wins on that. One thing that I did notice come out of the weekend that was kind of interesting. You see Billy Horschel kick out that guy out of the tournament.
I did, with a little expletive in there that you know, obviously TV they were running to cover up, but you know that hole. I mean, God, the golf ball was like 2 feet off his club and heading for the water, and you know, some schmo in the crowd, you know, it was probably just lit up after a big night on Bourbon Street or something. And, you know, yelling that to get in the water. I mean, really, like, seriously. And, you know, I feel for those guys. I mean, it's not basketball. It's not football. You're not in an environment where, you know, there's lots of cheering and stuff where you're not going to notice that. So, you know, there's really no place for that. It's not really necessary. And I don't really care if you think you're entitled because you're a fan and you bought a ticket. It's just rude. There's just no point in, you know, yelling for somebody's golf ball to get in the water.
No, yeah. I thought it was funny that Billy kicked him out, and he obviously deserved to get kicked out. But yeah, that happens from time to time on the PGA Tour, and I'm sure he regretted it afterwards, but whatever. What can you do?
Well, I think Horschel will probably, you know, he'll take the fine. I'm sure he's good with that.
Yeah, I think he's got a little bit of money. Didn't he win 10 mil like 2 years ago? I'm sure he's
exactly.
Okay. Couple other things that came out of the weekend. It was a drama-filled weekend, but not much that came out on the course. You see Francisco Molinari's brother, Eduardo, and his firestorm he started on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, that was interesting. Obviously, there's a lot of players that, you know, are really against slow play, as they should be. The only thing about that is that, you know, you've got information that, you know, is somewhat confidential within the players. So I'm not sure the tour would be too happy about that information coming out. But you know what? Guys are slow. That's fine. But you know, the sad part is the policy really doesn't, you know, it's pretty anemic. It really doesn't make a difference for these guys. I mean, they'll get their warnings, but, you know, a warning, they'll get back on time fairly quickly, and it rarely escalates to, you know, to the point that they get a penalty stroke or a fine. So, you know, it's great. I mean, I think they should call attention to it. I think it's a bad example for all the players out there. And, you know, unfortunately, too many juniors are watching PGA Tour players and they're watching tour level players and thinking that they have to be super, super deliberate to play the golf game well.
No, and for anybody that did miss it, Eduardo Molinari, he tweeted out something along the lines of, it shouldn't take 5.5 hours to play a golf round at a professional level. Got a bunch of retweets, and then he basically said, if this gets 1,000 retweets, I will send out a tweet of the actual stats of all the players on the European Tour that have been penalized for slow play this year, and basically it showed every single guy that's been on the clock a certain amount of times and every guy that's been fined. The issue I saw with it, and many people are obviously pointing to the same thing, is that there's guys on there that were on the clock 10, 11, double digits 5 times, and only 3 guys were fined. nothing is going to change unless you take it out of their wallets. And that's where it's frustrating. But where what you touched on, and it's come up a little bit, is that the amateur players now think the same thing. Okay, I got to go out and be deliberate on my Sunday round. You can't take it out of their wallets at the end of the day. You can't. I know some courses have tried where, hey, you finished, you know, an hour behind that group, you're charged an extra $15 at the end of the round. People aren't going to go back to your course. So I just don't know how, you know, A, the PGA Tour needs to really lock down on it, but what do you really do at the amateur level?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, at the pro level, I think one of the issues is the fact that, you know, unless the players get two bad times in a in on an event in a particular round, that's when they get the fines. There's not really any, as far as I know, there's not fines for cumulative times that you get fined. So, you know, if somebody gets a bad time, like, you know, five different events out of 10, I mean, there should be some repercussions for that. As for the amateur game, I think it's just a culture of play. I mean, people have to understand that, you know, stroke play, unfortunately, is time consuming, especially when you're playing poorly. And you don't necessarily have to play poorly to play slowly, or the opposite of that as well. You don't, you know, to play fast, you don't necessarily have to be playing well. I think it's just a habit for people. And if they never grow up in a situation where they're, you know, taught to kind of move along and not sit there and have big conversations in between and just be respectful of others, then I don't think it'll change.
Moving away from slow play and that drama, Tiger Woods started a little bit of drama this weekend. A video of him going to a Masters celebration where he's doing some sort of cake cutting of sorts, and he's walking quite gingerly, and then off as well struggling to find words right now, but basically he won't be playing in the Wells Fargo Championship, which he had previously committed to. Thoughts, concerns, anything about Tiger right now, Scotty?
No, I mean, he's, you know, he's not a young man. So, I mean, you're going to be sore, and obviously he works out a fair bit. So, you know, it's hard to say. I don't have any fear as far as injury is concerned. I saw more video of him actually hitting golf balls yesterday, and his swing looked perfectly fine. So I don't think there's an issue. I think he just, you know, he mentioned it a little while ago that he was not going to play as much this year. And as much as, you know, a guy like Robert Dameron's on the Golf Channel in the morning saying, oh, Tiger's going to play these 16 events or whatever, you know, he's got no proof of that. And, you know, really when it comes down to it, you know, if Tiger's playing a selective group of tournaments, I'm surprised he's not going to play again before a major. You know, that is kind of surprising as well, but, you know, who knows what else he's got going on in his life and, you know, what's taking up his time. So if that's as much as he wants to play, and if he wants to come back and, you know, maybe win those events every time he shows up, then I guess it's all good, right?
Yeah, it's not really bad. Skip the ones you don't want to play, go to the ones that matter to you. And to be honest with you, I saw the video. A lot of people were being like, what's going on with this walk to me? I mean, you guys wouldn't know anything about this, but it looked like he was just fresh off a leg day.
Yeah, well, that's what it sort of looked like, I guess, right? I mean, the one thing is, I mean, Quail Hollow this week is, you know, a major test. It did hold the PGA Championship in 2017, so it's a high-quality golf course. So, you know, you sort of look at that and say, hey, maybe is that a, you know, a way to prep a little bit for Bethpage, even though they do offer a kind of a different experience. But obviously, he's got a path that he's choosing, and, you know, who are we to critique? I mean, this is a guy who's got 15 majors and obviously 80-plus wins, so I guess he knows what he's doing, and maybe we don't.
I'm sure he'll be fine. We actually talked a lot about Tiger Woods with our guests this week. Unfortunately, you weren't able to make it because you're over there being sick. But this week we had Cameron Jacobs from TaylorMade, a good buddy of yours, correct?
Yeah, he's a great guy. I've known him for quite some time. And, you know, I've admired his work with the company for, you know, a dozen years or so. And I'm sure he's always got great insight on things that are going on with TaylorMade and, you know, the game at various levels.
Yeah, we had a great conversation with Cameron Jacobs, also known as CJ to some. We talked a little bit about Tiger. We talked about the tour lab that they have up in Woodbridge there. And why don't we send it over to our great interview with Cameron Jacobs right about now. Well, What a start to the year it has been for TaylorMade. Tiger Woods picked up his first major in 11 years, and just this past weekend, TaylorMade staffer John Rahm and his partner Ryan Palmer won the Zurich Classic. To talk about the start to the year and everything TaylorMade, we would like to welcome PGA professional and TaylorMade Performance Lab and Sports Marketing Manager Cameron Jacobs to the show. Cameron, how's it going today, buddy?
It's awesome. Other than the weather, you know, hence why we do our fittings indoors here at the Performance Lab. For good reason, because we really haven't had much of a spring, have we?
Oh, it's been pretty terrible. And then Scotty decides to set up this interview, and then he heads over to Ireland to to work, as he's been calling it. He sent Nick and I a bunch of pictures of him drinking Guinness today. So,
and you know what though? It's funny. I was listening last week. You guys, you know, sort of week two after Tiger. Are we still? Is it? Did Tiger Woods really win the Masters? Did that happen?
Well, he mentioned that in that interview this week, that it really hasn't sunk in for him. Let's talk about the office and the buzz around there. Has it sunk in at the TaylorMade office that Tiger Woods won the Masters?
Well, you know, we've been we've been very proud to be a small part of what Tiger's just accomplished. And, you know, really a win for him is a win for our entire sport, whether it's the casual fan tuning into a TV broadcast to maybe picking the phone and calling their local club and you know, booking a tee time or booking a lesson or wandering into the golf shop and buying some clubs or just being interested in the sport. Whether you're young or you're old, you're in the business or you're not, it's fantastic for our game and really obviously Tiger's got a ton to be proud of and obviously we saw the great coverage of, you know, some time with his family and time with his friends and how he's become that, you know, a little bit of an elder statesman now with the younger players on tour. But it really is awesome to see how many levels of what you would call Tiger 2.0 touch over the last, you know, few weeks. And we expect that to continue as we get ready for the PGA Championship.
Yeah, it couldn't come at a better time, too. Just a week after you guys announced the P7TW irons. So nice time to get some easy marketing in there, wouldn't you say?
Hot item, shall we say. Or I'll give you a little story. Our sales reps each receive a small allocation to be able to sell. And you know, I think originally they retail in around you know, $2,600 to $2,700, depending on the options. And there's lots of different customizations you can do with them. But I think some of the guys are going, well, you know, that's, you know, quite pricey. You know, from everything I've heard, they've had an uptick in some calls. So it's been neat to watch and interesting that, you know, this set is the first set where you could actually buy something that Tiger plays. It's the phase two of design from TaylorMade with Paul Kamigowski and our team down in Carlsbad partnering up with Tiger and Mike Taylor to, you know, deliver the best in performance for Tiger Woods. And you can now put that same technology in the bag. And if you want to play it in Tiger specs, we have them set up so that you could literally push a button and it will default and bend all the lofts weak and put in the X100s and the cord grips and everything that Tiger would play. If you want to have it exactly as Tiger's specs would set up, you can do that. Or if, you know, you play a different shaft or a different specification, you can order them right down the custom line and have them your way. So it's been a really interesting process to watch, and I was really surprised and I was curious to see how they would shake down. But in the marketplace, what we're seeing is a lot of sets being ordered right to Tiger's spec.
Yeah, I know a couple guys that ended up buying them to spec just to put on their wall. It seems like one of those sets that you don't even need a game. They're just that beautiful. They can just sit on the wall, and you have a great story to tell right off the bat.
Baseball cards for adults.
Yeah, $2,500 baseball cards is one way to put it.
I got to say, we've got a set of them here in the front lobby at head office here in Woodbridge, and everything from how they're presented, you know, they come in a commemorative box, they come with a letter from Tiger and from TaylorMade. The craftsmanship, the attention to detail of this product has really, and I've seen some fantastic products from us before. I've been around for a very long time with our company, and this one here, the amount of work that's gone into it, the craftsmanship, the steps that go along the way to create this iron, it is beautiful. And I mean, it's designed to do a certain job. It's a player's iron. It's a forged muscle back blade. It's designed for the very best players in the world. You see some other players other than Tiger. There's one player we can't mention because he's not under contract. He's playing a prototype set of them because he couldn't wait to get his hands on them. It's been a real fun ride to watch. It's been a lot of fun.
Does that box come with like a little side of Rogaine so you can get the full Tiger experience or what?
Well, that's, hey, baseball hats are there for a reason. Baseball hats are there for a reason. The hat tan is usually what catches guys. But yeah.
Did you see him on Scott Van Pelt's show and he's trying to convince him to shave the top of his head? It was pretty funny.
Oh, I missed it. But you know what happens to the best of us.
You're telling me.
I'm staring at it right now.
Nick's staring right down the barrel. It's been a great year. Obviously, there's a lot of new lines out there, the M6, the M5 lines out there. And you're obviously doing all the fittings up there at in Woodbridge. Give us a quick breakdown of the performance lab you have set up there at head office.
Well, you know, it was a really interesting story. Obviously, most people would know we were formerly part of the Adidas group, and Adidas had a change in their business and had really been a pleasure to work with as we separated the two companies, the two entities. Quite thankfully, our new owners, KPS Partners out of New York, have done a masterful job of taking what was already a very strong brand, heading in the right direction, and making it that much better. We were blessed with some capital to go out and build a fantastic new headquarters for our employees to have a nice place to come to work, a functional. So we've got our customer service teams. We've had to develop our own internal teams that would normally have been covered by other departments, say like finance, logistics. Our marketing department's been expanded, HR, IT. So all the things that the average golfer would never see. We've got that all in-house here in Canada, supporting, a great number of jobs in the business. But also, they wanted to make sure that we were really set up well to take care of the consumer as we head through the 21st century. We do have a lot of traffic from all across the country, Eastern Ontario for sure. There's a real hotbed of custom fitting there. We see our share of travelers come down to see us here in the GTA. We had, formerly at our first location, we had one fitting bay with motion capture technology and a great experience. At Adidas, our old facility, which we opened in 2011, we had two fitting bays. And the challenge was, especially peak season like we see right now in the spring, not uncommon for us to have, 5, even 6 week waits to get in for an appointment. Our experience we offer is fairly sophisticated but very popular. So when we decided to build a new head office, a long par 5 away from our old building, we're right at the corner of Highway 27 and 7. We're just north of Pearson Airport. But we now have three fitting bays, all with gears, 3D motion capture technology. We use Foresight GC quad launch monitors and simulator packages in all bays. And then we have a wonderful perfection platform putting green, which is we can articulate it to be dead flat, which is, if you're testing putters, the best environment for testing. You want to have it almost like a pure lab, so you take any of the irregularities out. And we use a Quintic putter launch monitor, which is the same launch monitor we use in R&D and down at the Kingdom in Southern California at our global headquarters. So we take a lot of what we do at the Kingdom and as best we can replicate that here for the Canadian marketplace. We have 4 fitters on staff full-time, including myself, and obviously some support staff reception to welcome the golfers in. We have a wonderful lounge where if you come in a little bit early in advance, you can sit down and watch Golf Channel. We've got espresso coffee, and then a great big workshop which features our straight to the tee work center, where we're one of a few locations globally where we can actually fabricate a driver right on the spot. So to explain that, if you were to come in for, say, a full bag fitting or a driver fitting and you wanted to get your driver right then and there, we actually inventory all the heads, all the shafts we carry in our custom line, we stock them here as well. And we use the same curing cell technology that they'd use on the PGA Tour truck, which is proprietary to TaylorMade. We take, 2-part epoxy that would be the norm for our standard of club building globally. But that type of glue would normally take about 24 hours to set. In our new process, we're able to cure that glue. We basically heat it up about 350 degrees. It's cured in 3 minutes, hittable out the door. So a player could come in, get fit, and within an hour walk out with his new TaylorMade M5 or M6 driver. It's it's an all-encompassing experience here.
Yeah, we had Mark Savard on the show a few weeks ago now, probably a month ago, and he talked about coming over there, which if you know Mark, I assume you worked with him up there. He talked a lot about every different brand that went into his bag and how he was all over the place and came up, did the experience, and now he has a full tailor-made bag. Why don't you give us a quick breakdown of what it was like working with him coming up there?
Well, Mark and I go way back, actually. Okay. Even to when he was just finishing up his playing days, obviously he's been an awesome advocate for head injuries in pro sports. And he actually had befriended one of our putter engineers down in Carlsbad, young guy by the name of Scott Gardner, who was from Maine originally. So obviously grew up a Bruins fan. So you imagine there's a little bit of an instant connection, but
we're not gonna say that name again on this show. This episode, it's too early.
Leaf fan here. I'm feeling everybody's pain. But they'd hit off a great relationship, and obviously through that, I sort of got to know Mark. And like a lot of hockey players, he's a great athlete. He has wonderful hand-eye coordination. Has an unbelievable sense of focus and concentration that you just. The recreational player, typically they're out there to have fun. Mark's a competitor, and I think he plows his athletic energies into his golf, and I know his son plays a little bit too, and is a heck of a guy, and you get out there and watch him play. You know, I've seen him try to qualify for a few pro events, and he plays a lot of the top amateur events with Golf Ontario, and I know he I think has a share of matches he plays in and around Peterborough and probably holds his own.
Oh yeah, he's quite the stick, that's for sure. However, there are many professional athletes that are professionals in other sport that it just doesn't quite translate over to golf. Do you have any stories or a couple of them, whether you're willing to drop any names or not?
Well, you know what? Because he's a nice guy, and I don't think he'd mean too badly about it. And because he probably works harder on his hockey game than he does. We had both. Connor McDavid and John Tavares, and when they were fairly young, as in still in junior, and I can tell you, they beautiful hockey players, woefully needing in their golf skills, but are improving every time I've seen them. I think we had Connor in 2 years ago, and obviously he's grown and he's filled out from where he was, and I'd be sure he'd get it under 100 now, maybe even at 90. But you have to remember, a lot of these guys, their season. Is not that long, even if they're playing, if they're knocked out of the playoffs a little bit early, those guys are back in the rink by August. So their season is pretty short. So we give them a bit of a free pass, but I've seen some different swings of the hockey players, and we see it a lot in Canada where, there's probably a lot of guys that are playing left-handed and probably ought not to be, but, they pick it up cause they play hockey left-handed and it's kind of the first inkling. And sometimes I don't think it necessarily helps them that much.
Definitely not. Have you ever worked with any of the Raptors? I know you're a big Raptors fan. There's a big game on tonight. Hopefully,
big game on.
When people are listening this, they'll hear that. But have you ever worked with any of the Raptors? It must be. It's a lot different. Talking from my own experience, working with a guy that's 6'9", 6'8", than it is your average player that's in that 5'10" range is what most standard clubs are for, right?
Well, yeah. So Kyle Lowry, obviously, he's a huge golf nut. But again, short season, tough for him, and obviously a very hard worker on and off the court. But again, not that tall, and not that out of the norm. If you were to see Kyle walking down the street,
he's 6'1", 6'2", right?
He's a sort of a normal height guy. The tallest player I ever fit, and who was actually a really nice player, was Jason Capono, who played for the Raptors probably about. I'd say about 8 or 9 years ago
now, yeah.
He would have been, I think he would have been 6'10". And we did his irons, even though he's a taller fellow. A lot of the times, the guys that are taller, they have longer arms. So they don't necessarily need to go as over length as you would think. But Capono, I want to say he was almost 2 inches over length on his irons.
Yeah.
Big grips and the whole deal. But and a nice player, nice guy. He had a lot of game. He had a lot of game. We see... Who else do we see? A lot of the broadcasters. I think the guys, they've got just like you guys in the business on the golf side. There is some time to travel, and obviously Scott's on the road this week earning his stripes. But I know for sure Paul Jones and Matt Devlin from the broadcast team. I know Jack Armstrong's a big golfer, and I think if they look at their travel schedules and they see there's somewhere warm, they probably pack the clubs with them.
Oh, but, yeah, you gotta.
But I can tell you those guys, they love their golf and relish their off time.
Moving back over to the tours, obviously I looked at the staff page today of the the major guys on the staff, and easily the most stacked team in golf right now with Tiger, DJ, John Rahm, Rory, Jason Day, Ricky just joining. But we often forget, you know, there's a great group of Canadians out there. Mike Weir's been with TaylorMade forever. David Hearn and Glitchich, if I'm saying his name right. He picked up a win on the web.com this year. He's heading to the PGA Tour next year. What's it like working with those guys, especially a legend in Canada like Mike Weir? I'm sure when the Canadian Tour stops in a town, you're right in there with them and all year round.
We've seen Mike in a few times now. He came in to get his lies and lofts checked, and you want to talk about an ultimate competitor, it is Mike Weir. You know, he's been through primary injuries than people would think, and he there's no quit in him. He's stubborn, which is good, and relentless with, you know, trying to get better in every facet of his game, whether it's his short game, which is all world still, sneaky efficient off the tee. I know he's obviously had a few years where he was challenged, but if you watch some of his stats lately, he's been holding his own on web.com playing with the younger guys, and I think probably getting prepped for obviously he's going to be an assistant captain on the President's Cup team this year, so he's having an eye on the players, helping out Coach Els, and probably with a bit of an eye towards the Champions Tour. It's not too far off in the horizon, I think, about two more years. But if I know Mike and the number of times I've worked with him, he's very much in the present, and, you know, if he's playing a tournament, he's thinking about winning. And awesome to watch, and awesome to have him here last year for our grand opening. It was a real pleasure to have Mike in the building and help us cut the ribbon. Obviously he has been a long-standing part of our brand, hence why we call our alleyway into our showrooms. We actually call it the Mike Weir Hall of Champions. Every time we have a staff player win with us, whether it's on the PGA Tour like John Rahm last weekend, or if we have one of our club professional staff, like, say, Marc-Étienne Bussier won the Canadian Assistants last year, we hang a banner up for all of our wins, and we call that in the Mike Weir Hall of Champions. So he's been and continue to be a big ambassador for TaylorMade for many years to come. And then obviously on the other side, we've seen, you know, some of the mentorship that he's offered to some of our younger players. And if there's one that we're really proud of here in Canada specifically, and probably specifically here to Southern Ontario, would be Michael Gligic. I can definitely tell you, for the announcers out there, sometimes it's a hard last name to say.
I really nailed that name.
But Michael's a very interesting story. Turned pro super young, 18, bypassed school. And he was coached by Sean Foley and the crew down at the Abbey, where we've got a performance lab down there as well. So there's been always sort of a bit of a connection as he's come up through the ranks. And I mean, he shot 60 when he was, I think, 19 years old in a Canadian Tour event. You know, he's done all kinds of crazy things, and it just goes to show you how hard it is to get to that next step. And I think, and I'm not just saying this myself, I think if you're to go to a man inside of Southern Ontario with the competitive player, they would sort of comment along the lines of, all Mike needed was enough starts. And, you know, as soon as he got onto the web and got some solid status, he knew he'd get enough starts. It was amazing just to see the pressure come off, and no different than any other tour player, but, it's something that it was amazing to watch him ascend, and the standard of play that he could deliver at the web level, I think, actually improved. The courses are a little bit longer, a little bit more challenging, say, than probably what you'd see here in Canada, which allows his talent to shine through ahead of some of the others. And we expect, you know, equally big things from him once he gets up to the big show, because he'll now be able to go out and plan a bit of a schedule and have the support. And we're looking forward to seeing what he does down the road. And I can tell you, from a personal level, he's a real nice guy. He's one that I think every Canadian golfer, hopefully they pull for him when he gets up to the big stage and shows us what he can all do.
You mentioned Glen Abbey there, putting you a little bit on the spot. What's the latest word with everything that's going on there? It's obviously an iconic course to Canada. It's hosted the most Canadian Opens. What's the latest in that situation?
You know what? To be honest with you, I've been following it along. Obviously, we have a bit of a vested interest there, because we do have our test center on site. But As far as I can tell, it's sort of business as usual, at least from talking to the pros in the shop there. They made a sizable investment ahead of the last Canadian Open, RBC Canadian Open they had there. Topped up the bunkers, reset some cut lines. The golf course itself was in great shape last year. They take for the amount of rounds they take, it's easily one of the busiest golf courses in the country, let alone one of the nicer ones. And they have a real strong golf culture. That corner of the city is a hotbed for golf. It's, I think, popular in the area because it is such a big part of that community. Obviously, there's houses all around it. And the city of Oakville, sort of built itself almost around the golf course. And whether you're even going there to play golf or not, I know that they have a very active social scene there. They do brunches on the weekends. There's lots of weddings. There's lots of conferences and business meetings that go on there. So for me, I've seen it's been very much business as usual. And I know they are getting ready to open up. I think I was just talking to their head pro today. I think their opening men's night is this week. So
there we go.
They're golf in full swing.
Well, moving over to where the Canadian Open is this year, it's at Hamilton Golf and Country Club. Big names heading this year. DJ's been at the Canadian Open for the last while, but Rory coming up for his first Canadian Open ever, I assume.
Yeah.
What is that week going to look like for you? Probably a little bit of a busier one than normal.
Well, than normal, because historically it's been almost a bit of a, a week that the guys would relax. Obviously, anytime these guys teed up, they mean business. But coming off of an Open Championship, a lot of the times, the guys would be flying back across the pond. They'd get in Monday. They'd sort of, take Monday as a bit of an off day. So typically, other than Golf Canada's foundation program, it would be largely a quiet day around the club. Historically, we haven't brought the tour van up. It's a good week historically for it to get serviced. Just like your car, it needs oil changes, it needs shocks, it needs struts, it needs tires, it needs for repairs. So historically, with the tour moving to the British Isles, and then the event following the Canadian Open being down at Akron, it was a nice 2-week stretch where they could sort of drop the truck off, get it all tuned up and ready to go for the back half of the season. But this year it'll be, I think, a different vibe. And talking to the guys over at Golf Canada, I know they've got, I think, Friday already sold out. They've got some great concerts lined up for after golf, which I think is a big benefit for that fan that maybe was on the fence of, do I want to go and just watch golf all day? But now they can go and watch a cool concert and get some friends out there and have a bit of fun at the same time. And I think it'll be great. I think, every Canadian golf fan owes a debt to RBC for all they've done for our sport. Think about, they sponsor 2 PGA Tour events, countless PGA Tour players to carry the flag for one of our national brands. And obviously they pour a ton of development dollars back into Golf Canada, which helps, all the programs that they bring to the market to help, drive interest in our sport, elevate our best players in the national team, you name it. It's all encompassing, a great event. And what more can you say about Hamilton? If you've not been there before, if any of the listeners out there are on the fence about coming down, I'd recommend going down just to see the golf course alone. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, we can't wait. I don't think we're going to let Nick on the course, but Scotty and I are trying to get in on that media day. I've only heard great things, but we can't wait for the Canadian Open. It should be a blast.
Yeah, and it's a real special spot. And you can really tell the players, the players love that old style golf course. Anything where it's, traditional, the greens themselves are exactly, what you see is what you get. They're heavily contoured. They'll be quick. The rough will likely be up a little bit, but the pros love that, and I think it works out nicely that other than the time change getting down to Pebble, they'll likely try to replicate a little bit of the conditioning you'll see, the following week at the U.S. Open. So it'll be interesting to see how Rory fares. I know he'll have a lot of supporters, coming out to see him. They already shipped in his range balls, and we've got everything ready to go for him and Dustin to come put on a nice show for Team TaylorMade.
I was going to wrap it up, but I'm curious what that means. When you're saying they ship in his specific range balls, what does that mean?
For each of our players, we bring in range balls. So we know, depending on who's playing in the field that week, will bring in more or less of a certain, whether they're a TP5 player like Rory or a TP5X player like Dustin. We just want to make sure they've got enough so that when they walk up, you know, obviously there's, you know, if they want to go on a bit of a mission and have a bit of a range session, we've got lots of ammo there for them on the range.
Yeah, Nick needs a bucket of those just to hit to hit to the local muni.
Fellow Canadian Nick Taylor, you know, we would make sure he's got everything he'd need for the week and then some, because it's obviously a big week for him too, and obviously a good TaylorMade staffer for us here in Canada.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much, Cameron, for joining us on the show. We can't wait to run into you and maybe check on a little bit of the inside of that tour bus when we're at the Canadian Open. Maybe you can sneak us in there.
Well, you know what? I think we'll be doing, I'd hazard a guess with the tour bus not coming up this year, I'd hazard a guess we'll still do a lot of the repairs over at our workshop at the Performance Lab at Glen Abbey. So, you know, the Abbey will probably be open for business, but you know what? If you want to come down and you want to pinch hit on doing some grips, you know, we always need guys who want to peel tape off shafts. So it's the least glamorous job out there. But, you know, if you want to come down and roll up your sleeves a little bit, we'll put you to work.
Oh, I've done enough grips in my lifetime. I'm not ready to go back.
Great stuff.
Thanks again, well, Cameron. We really appreciate it, man.
If there's anything else we can do for you out there, guys, let us know. Feel free. You can check us out online. We're right there at TaylorMadeGolf.ca. Any questions, any concerns, send them our way. Thanks so much.
Go get fit for sure. Go have that full experience just like all the professionals do up in Woodbridge. You want to throw out the phone number, address, or just head to TaylorMade.com?
Yeah. You can head right to TaylorMadeGolf.ca. Click on the fitting button. That'll jump you over to our fitting website where we've got obviously the Performance Lab highlighted, but also our performance centers across the country. You know, we've got performance centers in Montreal, Western Canada, Vancouver, Kelowna, Edmonton, Calgary, right here in Ontario, down at Whistlebear in sort of Cambridge, Waterloo way, and obviously the Abbey, and right here, the center of the universe, right here at Woodbridge, Ontario.
You got it. All right, buddy. We'll let you run. Go Raps. And sorry about our Leafs, man. Maybe, you know, what's our old saying? Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Cameron Jacobs, for that great interview, giving us some insight on what's going on at TaylorMade up at the head office there in Woodbridge. Gave us a little bit of insight of what it's like working with professional athletes inside the sport, outside the sport. And, you know, now I'm even more excited for the Canadian Open. He really fired me up about Hamilton, and I can't wait to see that course because it sounds great. But moving on to more golf talk, hardcore golf talk. Scotty, Brooke Henderson, yeah. This girl goes every week, I swear to God. She goes out and can close her eyes and come out with a top 10 in any tournament. She picked up another top 10 at the LA Open. That's 5 top 10s and 8 starts, picked up also with a win. Brooke is on fire.
Yeah, think about it. She's 21, and she now has 40 top 10s in her LPGA Tour career already. I mean, that's a lifetime. It's a lifetime for some players.
So, it's a Hall of Fame career.
You know,
I mean, I might be stretching it with only one major in the women's game. It's a little bit different, but
I think, you know, if you look at the Golf Canada, the Canadian Golf Hall of Fame, I think obviously she's made her mark there already, and I think that's some place where she's destined for sure. LPGA is a lot different story because they do have a point system, so it'll take a lot more wins to get in there, but, you know, she's not off to a bad start, right?
Not at all. She's on fire. She's second in scoring average this year, which usually means you're going to do pretty well in tournaments probably.
Yeah, she's pretty solid. We'll see how many events that she ends up playing. I know she's going to have a couple that she's not playing a little later in the summer. I know there's one event for sure that I know Brittany's got a wedding that she's going to go to that Brooke's not going to play in, which I think is, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I know, I think it's the event in Michigan, Thornbury. Obviously every time she goes out, there's a possibility that she could do it. As long as she gets those good starts, that seems to be the big thing for her. If she can get those two good rounds under her belt, then she's always up near the top. And then, you know, if she does get a kind of a weaker third round, then, you know, she does what she always seems to do. She just kind of works her way back up there and gets at least a top 10, right?
Yeah, she'll be fine. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. Maybe she'll pick up a major. Who knows? Speaking of a different story, John Peterson has come out of retirement, which isn't a new story for this guy. He, you know, famously last year retired, then unretired, then re-retired again. And now he's coming back out of retirement, back onto the web.com tour at the age of 30. So he's still a young guy.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Johnny P coming back on tour here?
You know what? I mean, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of, I don't know why there's so much discussion about it. I mean, there's lots of players that go away from the game and come back. And, it, you know, I mean, yes, he won a Division I NCAA championship, but, you know, that's 8 years past. And, you know, he did, you know, he's got one pro win. But I mean, you know, really, you know, he's nothing that's really exceptional as far as I'm concerned, as far as a player. So I don't know why so many people are paying attention to this and really that concerned about it. I mean, there's a lot of other players out there that have gone away from the game and come back that were, you know, more talented than him. So, you know, if he's trying to get all of us to play into his drama of leaving and coming back, well, help yourself. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, that was kind of my take on that was the most, most upset you've gotten on this show. Jeez.
Sorry.
1:30 in the morning out in Belfast and a couple pints later, and who cares, right? I'm right with you, but that's not new for me. I'm usually more feisty.
Sorry, I was taking your role for a second.
Yeah, jeez. Now I gotta play. No, I don't even know what to say now. Like, you really hit it on the head. Like, make up your mind, man. Like, either you're retired or you're not. It's very drama queeny to me. And it's not like, let's be honest with like, yeah, you said he's not, you know, he's nothing, you know, he's not special by any stretch of the imagination. He's never won on the PGA Tour. He goes out usually and makes around, let's say on average, $300,000, $400,000 a year, which is nothing to scoff at. I would take that money for the rest of my life if you signed up, you know, sign me up right now. But like, you know, what is the deal, man? Figure it out. You know, I don't even want to give him too much more time of day, but it's that story that keeps on coming up because he keeps bringing it up.
Yeah, he just kind of reminds me of the guy, you know, or the person that gets on social media and announces to everybody that they're leaving social media just for more attention or whatever. So, I mean, you know what? Hey, John Peterson, if you want to go, you know, hunting for the rest of your life and disappear and have a nice, comfortable job and hang out with your family, you're welcome to it. And, you know, it's not that he's not a talented player. Obviously, he's talented enough to get to a level that, you know, most people would only dream of, but I don't see it like, you know, like he's a top 20 player in the world that's all of a sudden deciding to, you know, to pack it in or whatever. So sorry, John Peterson, move on, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. One guy that kind of came out of the shadows, not because he's golfing again, and, you know, I've brought this guy up on the podcast before, and he's just kind of a, you know, he's a unicorn at this point in his career, is Anthony Kim. There was a sighting of him at a cafe somewhere in the States, I'm assuming in his home state of Texas or something. That would be a story if that guy came back out on tour.
Yeah, and it's not like he's not alive or whatever. I think we talked about it on one of the early shows at the PGA merchandise show this year when I was down there. I was at a teaching seminar, and his current coach actually brought out video from like a couple of days before of him hitting balls. And, you know, his swing looked as amazing as ever. And, you know, everybody in the room, you know, who were all sort of seasoned golf pros or whatever, was kind of like, wow, you know, his game looks good or whatever. But, you know, obviously, whether it's, you know, financially induced or just his own, you know, his own choice or whatever, you know, we might never ever see him out here. And yeah, you're right. I'd pay more attention to that than I would John Peterson.
Oh, I would pay for him to come back. And just now, like, the look at this guy, he's covered in tattoos. He's got this long flowing hair. He's like an Asian Tommy Fleetwood out there with tattoos. He's just, come back, Anthony. Yeah. If you're listening to this, we want you back. John Peterson, go back in retirement.
Oh, yeah, I'll take the guy that can make 10 birdies in a round at Augusta National first. Yeah. Thank you very much.
With a giant belt buckle and just
you got
all
it,
the swagger in the world. Oh, I miss Anthony Kim.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, how could you not? Moving back to the PGA Tour, we do have another tournament to talk on this week. We have the Wells Fargo. Is it an Invitational? Is it a Championship? My notes are
Championship.
There you go. My notes were failing me a little bit there. I do know Jason Day won last year, which is always amazing at this point when that guy finishes around a little bit. He's been struggling. He had a great showing at the Masters this year, even though he did have a little bit of a back injury. He's going to defend the championship at the Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow.
Yeah, and so, like I mentioned earlier, it's a great golf course. It did host the PGA Championship. It's amazing condition. I mean, I was there in 17 to kind of see it and walk it, and a lot of the players love it. They get treated really, really well there by the team that, you know, runs that golf course. And so certainly players love to see it. It's in a hotbed being Charlotte, a lot of golf fans there, a lot of experienced golf fans. So it's a good environment for all the players. So, you know, they like to be there. And as I mentioned, even related to Tiger, you know, it's probably a good warm up for kind of Bethpage as far as the speed of the greens and the condition of the golf course just doesn't quite have the long grass that Bethpage would, but certainly that level of golf course.
I saw some pictures of Bethpage over the weekend. Looks like the foreplay guys were playing it, and that looks like it's going to be a test. It looks like we got two U.S. Opens coming this year, basically.
Yeah, it looks that way. They had their last day open for the public just the other day, and there was a big event that a certain shoe outerwear company had, and they did a little blackout event, they called it, and to kind of treat all the players and all the people that were kind of hanging out there, getting ready for that last night, sleeping in their cars, getting ready to play that round the last day it was open. Jimmy Walker was out there. So it looked like it was really delicious as far as a golf course, and looking forward to seeing it hosting the PGA.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's gonna be awesome. I love that golf course. PGA Championship's only what, 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away.
Yeah, we're close already. So I mean, we're back to a major time already, which is that nice cycle now with the majors the way they are.
I love it. Why don't we dive in a little bit more of what you're up to? What was your day looking like today? What do you got planned other than a lot of good golf, as you mentioned earlier? Give us a quick breakdown. What are you most excited for, Scotty?
It's probably just getting out and seeing a couple of these, you know, golf courses that are rated among the top ones in the world. Royal County down. I mean, we got here, our flight got in just after 5. This morning. So, it was kind of a red eye from Toronto to Dublin. So I didn't get a lot of sleep, but, you know, it's pretty exciting. Even driving a couple hours up here from Dublin and starting to see the Lynx land, and you get out towards the beach side and you start to see these massive dunes. And when I say massive dunes, you know, it's, you know, not little 10 footers. These are 50, 60, 70 feet high with the grass hanging off of it. And, you know, it's blowing in the wind and you're just looking at it and going, wow, what a test that is. Royal County down and Royal Portrush and Port Stewart are among the three, you know, most revered courses on the coast. So from an architectural standpoint, it's just getting out and being on that Lynx turf. And, I don't really care so much about the score. I just kind of want to get a feel for the golf course and walk that Lynx land, that firm turf again. And brought a couple of hickory clubs with me too, so the boys can hit some hickory clubs on the fine turf as well.
That's awesome. So you say you're not worried about the score. Is that more your game's not ready for the score? Or
I think my game's actually fine. I mean, I haven't played a tournament round. I've played any round since January. I hit a bucket of balls outside last week, but you know, I've hit lots of golf balls indoors. But you know, you just don't always have a feel for short game shots and chips and pitches, and
especially off that turf too.
Yeah, really tight. So you really got to be precise and. You know, the bunkers are definitely not the friendliest, so you gotta, you know, just get out there. So, you know, I just want to hit shots. That's really what it comes down to. And you know, I'm not going to judge my experience based on the score. I really don't. It's not something I've ever really done. I really focus on scoring really for tournaments only, and I just want to enjoy it. And I think we've been warned at Royal County down that we've got about 5 blind tee shots. So we've been warned it's probably our best idea to grab a caddy. tomorrow. So that could be very interesting as well to kind of have that experience. And I think it's just the people here are fantastic. And I took a couple of walks today through the village here. Newcastle's not very big. I think maybe 7,000 people. And, you know, all I noted mostly was there was a lot of coffee shops, gelato shops, dogs. Everybody seemed to have a dog. Obviously, they've got great golf that's here, and the views are killer. They've got a 2.5 kilometer beach here, and we're right in the heart of the territory where they do the filming for Game of Thrones. So if anybody's really into that, and I mean, I must admit, I haven't really actually seen an episode of
it. I have never seen it.
Zero here.
Yeah, so which
the
is
only
crazy.
Three people in the world.
Yeah.
So, which is crazy because everybody's talking about it, and there's literally like 26 of their filming sites are right around here. And they're just, I mean, there's scenes, I guess. I mean, I took a couple of videos today and pictures that I posted with the nearby Mourne Mountains that are about 3,000 feet high, and, you know, the fog that was going up, and it looks like something you see in a movie, but it's actually real. So you can see why they do the filming and stuff here. So it's a pretty surreal area. And like I said, the people are super friendly, and there's certainly a good smattering of other Canadians here. There is a number of tour operators here. Talked to another bunch of Canadians on the plane, actually. Stephen Ross, the former executive director for Golf Canada, was on there. He was heading over to St. Andrews to spend a month over there. And I just so happened to get lucky with my seatmate, happened to be a member at a golf course in Peterborough. So we had a good golf chat on the way over.
That's I'm jealous of the St. Andrews for a month. You could, I could live there.
Oh, me too. It's unbelievable.
Well, Scotty, what we're going to do, we're going to let you off the hook a little bit early off your shift today. We're going to let you go, get some rest. You got a long week ahead, probably your hardest work week of your life. enjoy it. Have some whiskey for us. Have some beer for us. Eat some good food. Play okay. I don't want you to play too good, but play okay.
Play okay.
Yeah, and you have a great time. We can't wait till you're back next week, and we'll break it all down then.
All right. Thanks for holding down the fort, boys. And we'll talk a lot about it next week when I get back.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. All right, Scotty. Go get some rest. He did not sound good.
He sounded terrible.
He sounded so
bad.
It
didn't even sound like Scott.
No, not at all. He's just going to go. Have some get a good nap. I mean, he's getting up there in age. He should have been in bed by
pretty old.
Yeah, by like 10. And he's up with 2 hours sleep at like 1 a.m. out there.
Yeah, he's almost been up for 24 hours.
Oh, man, we might never see him again. We're thinking about you, Scotty. I mean, let's be honest. He'll be fine. The amount of whiskey he's going to be putting into his body and potatoes. And
it's not a bad place to be.
No. He'll do it right. He's been there before. He's a vet, that's for sure. But we'll check in with him next week. We'll get the full rundown. He better bring us some whiskey back.
He better.
Yeah, we need some in the studio. The studio is so cold right now.
It's so cold.
It's so cold.
It's like a walk-in freezer.
It's so cold. Our beers are cold. They're still cold. I'm cold. We need some whiskey to just warm up our blood. Some nice Irish whiskey. Maybe some Bushmills, something like that.
We're counting on you, Scott.
We're counting on you. One thing he mentioned in there, we're 2 weeks away from the PGA Championship, but we're also only 2 weeks away from the Flagstick Open. Are you ready, Nick? How's the game looking?
I can caddy for somebody.
I will be looking for a caddy. I mean, you got some things on the go. You got a second child coming any day now. How long
away? Come any day.
Any day. Wow.
Yeah, we're freaking out.
We're freaking out a bit.
Baby number two.
I mean, you shouldn't. You with two kids is terrifying.
It is. It is.
We've come a long way from playing in a band and not having children too.
That's for sure.
To trying to make a podcast.
That's for
instead.
Sure, yeah.
But here we are. Well, any day now. We're excited. Little tea talk? Is that what we're going to do?
Little tea talk. Little TT.
We can't wait for little TT. But yeah, 2 weeks away. Nick might have a kid by then, so may not be caddying for me. Not that I have any chance of winning. But we do have the Flagstick Open heading at Equinel Golf Club, May 18th and 19th. Make sure you head to flagstickopen.com and sign up today. What a great package you get just for signing up. Well over $400 of stuff right off the bat. And you know me, Nick. I love free stuff.
Stefan's in it for the free stuff.
every time we have a guest on here, once it goes off air, I'm begging them for something. And so I can't wait. You get an Adidas pullover, you get an Adidas belt, you get a tailor-made golf bag, which I saw your golf bag the other day. It looked like mice were living in it all
winter.
Oh, come
on. It's not that bad. Well, my hockey bag's worse.
Yeah, well, put your gear in that at this point. Plus, they just announced you're going to get a Flagstick head cover.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be sweet. You get a steak dinner, you get lunch both days, and then you get golf.
I'd be in it just for the steak dinner.
Yeah, no, you're in for the steak dinner and the golf bag, and you're heading out. So make sure you head to flagstickopen.com and sign up today. It's filling up fast. It's filling up fast, so I can't wait. I'm really excited, and we'll be there. We'll be interviewing people. We got some guests hopefully coming in and out. Who knows who will show up for our after-hours interviews that week. Anything else you want to go over before we wrap her up?
I think I'm good.
You think you're good? We'll break it all down next week. As I mentioned, we have the Wells Fargo Championship. Nailed it. Championship. It's not an invitational. Jason Day is going to defend his title there. Hopefully he makes it through. I'm cheering for Jason. I know him going down every week. Some people aren't a big fan of it, and he's always hurt, but I'm cheering for him. I believe in Jason. We'll get a nice... we'll pick up a back-to-back here this week. I believe in him. But before we do, we need you to do one thing for us. We need you to go on to your podcast app. We need you to subscribe to the podcast. We need you to grab your mom's phone right beside you. We need you to grab that
phone. A stranger's phone.
We need you to subscribe to that podcast on that phone. And we need you to rate 5 stars. How many?
5 stars only.
5 stars only. We really appreciate it. We're really trying to grow this podcast into something great so we can give you guys some free stuff.
We need your help.
Yeah, but we need your help. And I love free stuff. Everyone loves free stuff. And I want to give you free stuff. Yeah, so make sure you subscribe to it. If you have if you got Spotify and you got the Apple,
subscribe everywhere. Yeah,
subscribe on both. Yep. We love that. We'd appreciate that, and we love the fans, so we want to bring you more stuff. So, why don't we wrap it up there? On behalf of Scotty out there dying in Ireland, we thank Cameron Jacobs for joining us today. Nick, thanks again for everything, and we'll see everybody next week.
Yeah, we'll see you later.